If you have been sharing a message today called the 10 times factor, the 10 times factor. Well, I'll be reading a few scriptures from the book of Daniel, then some others in the New Testament. We're going to have some really fun time talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. My wife gave me the joke today, and I think she was sending me a message, but let's see. A pastor and his lovely wife were at a party chatting with some dear friends when the subject of marriage counseling came up. "Oh, we'll never need that. My husband and I have a perfect relationship," the wife explained. "He was a communications major in college, and I majored in theater arts. He communicates very well, and I just act like I'm listening." So I don't know why she picked that joke. I'm still thinking about if something's going on here. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel is an amazingly prophetic book, the most accurate prophetic book in the Old Testament, with such specific details about the future. So many of them have come to pass, so many of them are coming to pass, and so many of them will. Daniel chapter 1, though, gives us kind of a summation. Daniel and three of his friends had been captured during a conquest of Israel by Babylon and brought out of Israel to serve in the Babylonian Empire because they were promising leaders, promising and gifted people. That would be the number one reason that they would be chosen. And the Bible gives us now a summation of their lives, verse 19. "And the king interviewed them, and among them," so he's interviewing wise men, his counselors, all those that have access to him, that proximity through their counsel or through their gifting. And none was found in all these men he interviewed like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, so their gift made a way for him. And just a simple comment. You don't want to wait till you're in the perfect place to use your gift. So Daniel is in Babylon, not by his choice, but by force. So he's really in an unwanted season, unwanted place, he and his friends, but yet they didn't hide their gifts. They didn't bury their capacity. They didn't hold back what they could do. Because sometimes when we use our gift in difficult places, it's the thing that unlocks us to the destiny places. So when we use our gift to help someone else, there's always a great response from God to us. Okay, next verse. "In all matters," everybody say all matters. So this would be a pretty comprehensive evaluation in all matters of wisdom and understanding. So that's everything. So that's Google. That's everything that we're talking about. Anything that could be talked about, science, medicine, life, nature, law, people, behavior, animals, just everything. So he's asking them across this gamut of interest. "In all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, the king found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all of his realm." So he's governing really the known world at that time, and he's examining all these people. Now, he's not a believer. He's not only not a believer, he's a pagan, so he worships other gods. And so he is neutral in his evaluation. He's just looking for what people can do for him. He's looking for the benefit they can bring into his world, his empire. And so when he examines them, they not only stood out, but they stood out many times, 10 times better than all the other people. Now, at that time, people that were involved in counsel and wisdom and considered important and strategic leaders were people that were in Babylon that would be involved in what the Bible says, soothsaying, witchcraft, you know, magic, the black arts, the occult world, the psychic world. So a lot of those, they weren't astronomers, they were astrologers. So they were people that had this, they functioned in some kind of mysticism. So that they used that art or that behavior to portend to have an advantage. Because I'm in the mystic arts or I'm doing this, I can know more than you. And here comes four church guys. Here comes four CFTNers. And they're not worshiping the stars, and they're not worshiping some other, they're not consulting mediums, they're not behaving in appropriate ways. And so when they're examined, Nebuchadnezzar is like shocked. well, these guys are way beyond you. And he gives a number to it. He said, you guys are 10 times better, 10 times wiser. And he wasn't a believer. He didn't have a natural acumen to favor them. Their gift made them favored. Their capacity. So what do we think about? Well, how do these men get 10 times wiser than the whole world? 10 times wiser, so let's just go there. 10 times wiser than the people at Harvard or Yale or Princeton. 10 times wiser than think tanks in Silicon Valley. 10 times wiser than the institutions of higher learning in a secular way. How in the world did they bypass all of that and arrive at a higher peak of knowledge? Well, it wasn't because they simply had greater IQs, that they had greater mental faculty. No, it's because they had a greater God. They had the God advantage. The God advantage, the Holy Ghost advantage. And so they prayed about things. When they prayed about things, God gave them access to hidden wisdom, the non-obvious wisdom, the wisdom that my senses and my acumen, my intelligence, my reason can't unlock, a higher realm. And so they had a wisdom and insight that came from God, both from His Word and from His Spirit. So they had the God advantage. I'm going to say the Holy Ghost advantage. You with me? The Holy Ghost advantage. I spent a few hours, I hope you get the spirit of that. I spent a few hours ministering and counseling a billionaire yesterday. And so the whole thing makes me laugh. I go, why in the world would they want to talk to me? I sit down to talk, and just the Holy Ghost comes out. And so I'm talking, and I'm thinking, I'm not really this smart. These words, I should take notes on what I'm saying. And they're like, wow. And they're being impacted. How can I impact someone who's probably naturally more intelligent, more accomplished, etc., than me? It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost makes you comfortable at any seat life invites you to. The Holy Ghost can qualify you to move into realms you are naturally unqualified for. Happens to me all the time. I come into fear and trembling. Oh, boy. Real boy, Holy Ghost, if you don't show up, I'm going to look really stupid right now. That's every Sunday here, by the way. So they're tested and 10 times better. Okay, 10 times better. So Daniel, there's more insight about Daniel chapter 2. This is the greatest story ever. So Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he wants it interpreted. The problem is he keeps having the dream. He can't remember the dream. And so he tells all his council, all these soothsayers, magicians, astrologers, he tells them, I need your help. I need you to interpret my dream. He said, okay, tell us your dream. He said, I can't remember it. I need you to find my dream and then interpret it. And they're like, what? We don't have access to that information. So Nebuchadnezzar says, if you don't tell me my dream, I'm going to kill you. What good are you? He was a tough dude, man. He was a tough leader. So they start panicking, and they find the four Hebrews. And Daniel, here's the word. We're all going to die. And Daniel says, why? Because the king's had a dream. He can't remember it, and he wants us to order. And Daniel says, no sweat. I got a friend. I got some inside info. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God has no secrets. There's nothing he can't see. And Daniel sought God. So what happens next is the story. Then Daniel went to his house, verse 17, told his friends they might seek the mercy of God in heaven concerning the secret. So they asked God, they're praying. Verse 19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I told this story first, I'll tell it again. I was praying for someone a few years ago here in town, another church here in town, and I had a vision of them in a room where all the windows were sealed off, and on the wall I saw all these pictures of characters. I knew they were criminals, and then I saw one section was terrorists. So I'm prophesying this guy, and I said, I see you in a dark room. I see all the windows shut. I see these pictures of terrorists. I see you talking with four other guys, and you're talking, consulting about how, and so end up being, he was running the FBI's anti-terrorism unit for Arizona. And then the word was, God's going to promote you. So now he runs it for the United States. But he said this funny thing to me. He said, you were about one sentence away from getting arrested. I said, hey, don't blame me, it's God. Nobody is hidden from God. Nobody. So even this dream, God knows what's in you that you can't even find. Okay, so Daniel blessed God. He said this in verse 22. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in darkness. Light dwells in him. So Daniel's praising God, giving God the glory. Verse 28 or 27, Daniel answers in the presence of the king. So Daniel says, I'm going to make a distinction of how I was able to access this hidden information. The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. They couldn't, they're not allowed access into that realm of knowledge. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. You're dreaming the vision of your head upon your bed. And so he says, and he tells him what the dream is. It's a golden statue. It's of time, 1,000 years of time. It's just an incredibly beautiful, complex, and illustrative revelation. Verse 30, but as for me, this secret was not revealed to me because I have more wisdom than any. I'm not smarter than your other soothsayers. I just got a bigger God, a better God, a more powerful God. Next, chapter 5, another king comes and there's an issue of uncertainty, really a crisis. And they're looking for someone to help interpret these words, understand what was happening. And someone brought up Daniel and they said this in verse 11. There's a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy God is. As in days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom. Like the wisdom of God were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers. Insomuch, now here's a beautiful, comprehensive, insightful, biographical description of this man, Daniel. Insomuch as an excellent spirit. So what is excellence? Excellence is continual greatness. So you do something, whenever you fulfill the potential of something, it's great. Whenever you keep living in that fulfilled potential, it's excellent. So it's continual greatness or continual high-level behavior, whatever it is, morally, spiritually, naturally, professionally, whatever it is. He had an excellent spirit. He had a spirit of knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, explaining enigmas were found in Daniel. And he said, Daniel will give you the interpretation. So Daniel had this spirit that he could unravel mysteries. Now, one of the strategies, you know, Babylon in its name means confusion. And confusion is a strategy of the devil. So you could be in a culture of confusion and you could still have the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. So Daniel does. He keeps through 3 or 4 kings. He keeps having these amazing moments of such high, insightful, revelatory understanding. So in the New Testament, so let's get to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Because the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit rested on people like a jacket or a coat. He mantled them for behavior, for achievement, for accomplishments, for supernatural faculty. In the New Testament, he lives in us. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The early church, 120 of them at least, were in the upper room in Jerusalem waiting for the promise of the Father that Jesus said he would send after his ascension. And there it happened, 10 days. They waited, and on the feast day of Pentecost, the Bible says in Acts 2, suddenly there was a mighty sound, a roar from heaven, as if a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and they appeared unto them clothed in tongues of fire, and they all began to speak with unlearned heavenly language as the Spirit gave them utterance. Peter stands up later to preach. Now a crowd comes around them out of curiosity and interest. What's happening to these people here? It's a feast time in Israel. So people from around the kingdom are there. And he starts preaching. He preaches from the book of Joel and he says this. These guys aren't drunk with wine. It's only 9 in the morning. But this is that. Let me say this. God will always tell you when a this is that. God will always tell you That's the person you're supposed to be with, the job you're supposed to have, the city you're supposed to. God will confirm it. There will be the awakened signals of joy, of peace, of confirmation, of assurance. This is God's will. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. It will come to pass, says God, in the latter days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Say with me, all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men dream dreams. That I'll pour out of my spirit upon your servants and handmaidens, and they will prophesy. And I'll show signs and wonders in the heavens above. So a manifestation of the end time stuff. I don't want to get stuck there, but I'm going to say this. Prophecy, visions, and dreams. What are those? It's the language of heaven on earth. The language of the Holy Spirit. So Peter said, when the Holy Spirit moves in, heaven's language moves in. And the language of God is this prophetic, encouraging, inspirational words, visions about the future, visions about the purpose of God, dreams, the same thing. God talking to us about our purpose, his plan, about the things he wants to do. Man, God loves to talk to us. God loves to talk to people. So the Holy Spirit's there, come, and often the church begs God to help them in areas he's already released tools to deliver them in. God help me. When you got the Holy Ghost, a treasure chest moved into you. Now this, if you're wondering what this is our grandchildren's treasure chest. So many years ago when our kids started having kids, being a grandparent is like the best thing the world ever can offer. It's the reward for not killing your kids. I'm sorry, Matthew, being a grandparent is so good. If I would have known how good it was, I would have skipped kids, gone right to grandkids. Okay, no, just kidding. I love my kids. It's all good. I've enjoyed every second of all of it. And so I told my wife, honey, find a pirate treasure chest, the best we could find, and we're going to fill it with toys. And every time the grandkids come over, when they leave, they get to pick one thing from the treasure chest. So Mary's job for 20 years has been to keep refilling the treasure chest. And so they'll come over. Now, the older kids are getting older now. It's harder to buy. You know, the older they get, the more expensive their toys become. So here's a Starbucks card, you know. So, but they come and they get a gift. And today, little Dakota was there, and Mary gave her a little gift from the treasure chest. It's just so fun, especially when they're small. They're like, oh, can we look inside there? And Mary personally wraps them. In fact, Mary's done. She's taken it to the next level. She's put their name on it. So Roman doesn't accidentally open up a girl's present. So everyone's got their name on it, and they get their little gift, and it's just fun. Now, here's my point. When the Holy Ghost moved in, he brought the treasures of heaven. He brought prophecy, visions, and dreams. He brought a host of giftings. He brought your purpose, your destiny. He brought your own acumen. He brought heavenly deposit faculty. And so all this is in you, and we don't want to go to heaven with a closed treasure chest. We want to empty out everything that's in here in this lifetime. So that's our earthly journey, is to work out our salvation and get everything out of us heaven has put into us before we go to heaven. So let's talk now about a specific part of it. But here's a little insight. In Genesis 40, Joseph's in prison. So Joseph is called by God. He's unjustly accused of a crime. He's sentenced to prison. Instead of pouting, he serves. He uses his gift. Why? Because your gift is the key that's going to get you into your destiny. When God sees you using your gift to help someone get where you want to go, he can't wait to release you to go there yourself. He can't wait to send someone to help you. So Joseph's in prison. He walks past two prisoners, the butler and the baker, the Pharaoh's butler and baker, and he observes that they're very upset. They're sad. It's the English word sad. The Hebrew word is really deep and kind of really profound because it talks about sadness of heart, a deep embedded, to be vexed, to be troubled, to be deeply frustrated or even angry. So it's a frustration that something's wrong. It's a soul sadness. And he says, I can tell you're upset, and I can tell this isn't a normal kind of sadness. He said, why do you look so sad today? And they responded, well, the butler and I, we've each have had a dream. Very specific, but we don't know what they mean. And Joseph said, gotcha. There is a God who interprets dreams. Now, let me say it like this. Every person in Phoenix has a God-given dream with them. It's impossible for them to find it without the God direction, without the Holy Spirit uncovering it for them. No matter how much they achieve in life and culture and finances, if they haven't uncovered their God dream, they're going to feel constant frustration. Sadness, embedded sadness, of course, it becomes, if they don't know Jesus, there's a constant sadness by the burden of unresolved sins. So they're carrying that burden around, and our job is to be dream interpreters. Our job is to give them letters from heaven that help them know what God thinks about them and helps them find the path God has for their life. I prophesy over the years, a lot of people, tens of thousands of people, maybe half of those people, non-Christian. And it's just the funnest thing ever. You know, I don't say, thus saith the Lord. I'll just share my heart. Hey, can I share something with you? And God will give me something that unlocks their heart. A dream buried, like Nebuchadnezzar. And they're like, wow, wow. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, when an unbeliever comes to church, comes to the gathering of the people of God, when you prophesy over him and the secrets of their heart are revealed, falling down on their knees, they will say, your God is God. I get to see that actual event happen on a pretty regular basis. People dropping to their knees, having that kind of encounter. Now, let's go a little deeper. A lot of Christians living with embedded sadness. Same thing. They've not truly uncovered what God has for their life. So the Holy Spirit wants to get at the issue, okay? You know, the big issues of life, the philosophical questions, who am I, why am I here, what should I do, what should I have, where should I go? Those ever-present questions in every generation, the Holy Spirit said, I got you. Who are you? You are a child of God. What should you do? The will of God. Let me help you understand it. Here's the will of God. What should you have? Everything God wants you to have. Where should you go? Where he leads you. The Holy Spirit takes over the guidance mechanism and helps us fulfill the plan of God for our lives. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let me jump into this. The Bible says this, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every person for the profit of all. So everybody gets to flow in the Holy Spirit's gifts. Thank you, brother. Every single person here, every child in our children's church, every believer in Phoenix, every believer in the world. Why? When they got saved, a treasure chest moved into them. Heaven's gifts moved in. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for all to profit. For to one, now talking about it, let's go into some detail. For to one person is given the word of wisdom by the Holy Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Holy Spirit. So here we have spiritual gifts being shared with us. To another, faith or supernatural faith by the Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Holy Spirit. To another, working of miracles, great sentence, energio of dunamis, the energizing of miraculous power. To another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, diverse tongues, to another, the interpretation of those tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to everyone individually, King James says, severally as he wills. So the wonderful Holy Spirit is the X factor in the life of every believer. I have, and you have, a genius living inside of you named the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit longs to help you discover the God-given dream you are born to fulfill. Every believer is called to be a Holy Spirit-empowered dream interpreter to this generation, helping people find the divine destiny they were born for. That's what God has for us. There's so much joy in discovered destiny in your life as a believer. So when the Holy Spirit moved in, this listing of gifts is a kind of broad expression of the vast variety of beautiful, distinctive properties the Holy Spirit has in a function in our life. So every believer, I pray every day for all nine of those gifts. Why? Because I never know when I'll need them. I never take them for granted. I thank God, I pray today for them. I pray every single day. And I prophesied this week to hundreds of people. I still long for more. I still am so grateful. I'm so dependent. So the Holy Spirit has these gifts he wants us to open and unwrap. And we don't want to go to heaven with unwrapped gifts. So it's unopened gifts. We want to open them all. Here's a brief description of some of the gifts. Word of wisdom, what is that? When the Holy Spirit gives a believer heavenly insight and wisdom to understand a situation and then know what the decision to make and action to take. The word of wisdom gives direction about the present and the future, begin from today forward. The word of knowledge gives information and understanding from the present to the past. Word of knowledge, where the Holy Spirit makes information, facts, and knowledge known to us by supernatural impartation. So information I couldn't obtain by natural mechanism, God gives me knowledge of. There is always a kingdom purpose for this heaven-sent knowledge, usually to bring healing, deliverance, protection, or guidance to someone's life. So I had a word of knowledge yesterday, praying for some people in a meeting last night, and I had a word of knowledge praying for this guy. I said to him, God's healing you from an incurable blood disease. Look healthy, young guy, and he's breaking the curse of that disease off your family. So pastor got up and said, you know, it was all true. He was born with this. So why did God reveal it? Because God was destroying it. God was healing it. God reveals to heal. God reveals to deliver. So some things, there are some miracles that can't happen until they're exposed. Interesting. Okay, another gift. Beautiful gift. The gift of supernatural faith, when the Holy Spirit graces a believer to have a surge of extraordinary faith for something God is wanting to do. This moment of heightened faith then unlocks miraculous results. Gifts of healing, plural in the Greek. Supernatural work of the Holy Spirit to the life of a believer to bring physical, mental, or emotional healing to someone who is unwell. There is a gift of healing for every disease mankind will ever face. Jesus heals, and this gift is one of the beautiful ways he does it. Working of miracles, a spiritual gift that manifests God's supernatural power to circumvent and override the laws of nature. Miracle signs and wonders are what our God is able to do through this amazing gift. So when Christ multiplied the bread, when Christ walked in the water, when Jesus turned water to wine, all miracles, and it's just the funnest thing ever to see miracles. Prophecy, a spiritual gift that enables us to speak a message that is inspired by God to others. Prophecy brings encouragement, edification, and comfort when it's from God. So when prophecy is from God, it encourages, it strengthens, and it heals. Okay? So if you've got a bummer prophecy, don't give it to me. Send it to someone you want to bum out. Every believer is invited to boldly ask for and experience this gift. There's a whole chapter, just two chapters away, chapter 14, that says, pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And so it says this, everyone gets to be in the prophecy thing, gets to speak inspired message from God to people. Discerning the spirits, I think this gift is so essential right now. A gift from the Holy Spirit that enables believers to discern what spirit is at work in a person or environment. This gift reveals the behind-the-scenes activity, determining whether it's man, demonic, or God at work. Might add, or angels. That would be God at work, too. Diverse tongues and interpretations, spiritual gifts that often flow together. Diverse tongues is a spiritual gift that enables us to speak and pray in an unlearned or heavenly language different than our regular prayer language. So, if you don't speak in tongues, if you have a tongue language, it's when God gives you a different tongue language for a specific purpose. Always, almost always for some kind of deliverance, healing, salvation, breakthrough purpose. And then interpretation. So the interpretation of tongues is when the Holy Spirit interprets what we prayed in an unknown tongue. Now, people that aren't spirit-filled, that don't know about the Holy Spirit, that don't speak in tongues, you Pentecostals should never pray in tongues in public. Well, I agree. If I stood up today and talked in tongues welcome to CFTN for the next 40 minutes, listen to me talk in tongues. I would go home pumped up because he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But it wouldn't edify you because there was no understanding. So in public services, in public meetings, If there's a tongue, there should be an interpretation. If there's a prolonged time of tongues, it should be interpreted, unless we're all just kind of superbating or praying in tongues or whatever. So it should be interpreted. That's the kind of decently in order function of it, okay? And it's amazing, people that don't know anything about the fire are experts in how to control it. Yeah. You know, make God let them speak in tongues. Lord, I pray that you visit them so powerfully, they can't speak in English for 2 weeks. Just zap that critic over, that expert on the Holy Spirit. I was sitting across from a seminary expert, you know, Holy Spirit was there, you know, their class. I knew they weren't spirit-filled. I'm like, oh, talking about the Holy Spirit, are you? Yeah, that's good. I bit my tongue like 5 times. You know, I wanted to pray in tongues, prophesy, cast out demons, and take an offering right there in front of them. And so I got all those in me. Well, Pastor, you get to see miracles. I see miracles not because I'm a preacher, it's because I'm a believer. Miracles don't follow preachers. They should, but they follow believers. Some preachers are believers, not all of them. So miracles, what, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not me. Daniel says, it's not me, it's God. And yet God, when he moved in with all these gifts. See, God will tell you, I prophesied to this famous woman last week, a couple weeks ago, that God had used her to prevent her sons from marrying the wrong women. And that God showed her, when everyone else said they looked good, God showed her by discerning the spirit something was wrong. And then she told me later that was right. God will use you to discern the wrong people trying to come into your family's world or the church's world or your business world. God will stop you from making a partnership in business that's inappropriate. The Holy Spirit will say, don't do it. Don't. He'll discern something's wrong there. He'll discern something's wrong. So that gift is so essential. All these gifts are. And when you got spirit-filled, especially the Holy Spirit said, okay, let's have some fun. What you want to open up today? What you gonna get today? What you wanna function in today? What you wanna see me do today? And the Holy Spirit said, I got something for every occasion. For every kind of human necessity, there's a spiritual remedy. And so much of it is in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus is leaving, he said, he's preparing the church, John 14, 15, and 16. He's preparing them. And he starts introducing them to the next comforter. I'm sending another paraclete, another helper, counselor, comforter, teacher, encourager, strengthener, guide, advocate, encourager. I'm sending someone just like me, except he won't be singularly present. He'll be everywhere at once. And whatever I say to him, he'll say to you. He'll show you things to come. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll bring back to your remembrance all the things I've said. Thus they could write the Gospels in such exacting detail. He will help you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will empower you. He said this, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And that dunamis faculty will make you a witness to me. Well, what does that mean? Well, part of the way we witness is with these gifts. It's not just shouting and preaching, it's demonstrating the gospel. My wife loves Costco, and like every couple of years, she lets me go with her once. Apparently, I'm a large item shopper that has been barred from Costco. Because I just go right to the electronics section. She says, just come here, let's go get some granola. And she always tells me, when she comes home, today I bought this because I tasted it. And there was a little taste table, and I tasted it. It was so delicious, we're going to have it for dinner. And the gifts of the Spirit are tastes of heaven. And it's wrong of us to tell people, you need to believe and never give them a taste. You need to buy this. Well, can I try it? No, just trust us. Jesus said, go heal the sick and then tell them the kingdom's come. Go deliver the bound, then tell them the kingdom is here. So we have the Holy Spirit says, just let me loose. There's no part of your world the Holy Spirit can't make you better in. a superior realm of wisdom, knowledge and facts and understanding, discerning, miracles, signs and wonders. Come on, those are amazing. Healing the sick, the faith to move mountains, everything we need from God. There is something so powerful when someone receives a message they know is from God. A little prophetic word, just kindly, humbly, lovingly sharing something. You know, I feel like this is for you. And when it's from God, oh man, the instant impact is just unbelievable. So beautiful to watch God at work. And God says, man, there's so much I want to do, but instead of the church keeps asking me to do things I gifted them to do. I put into the arsenal of their own gifts, their own capacities, through the Holy Spirit's presence. Man, just open up the treasure chest. Keep it open. Every day, Holy Spirit, thank you for guiding me, filling me. Every day, I pray for the Holy Spirit. I pray for the all nine of the gifts. Fill me with prophecy. I pray today, fill me, Holy Spirit. I've given up this week hundreds of personal prophecies. And yet today, I was more hungry for the gift of prophecy than I've ever been. Lord, I want more. Thank you for prophecy and diversity of tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles, gifts of healing, supernatural faith, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning the spirits. I want all those gifts because there is so much need. The devil's on a rampage. He's destroying. He's a roaring lion. He's destroying lives. We need all of the arsenal, the weapons of heaven, the arsenal of the Holy Spirit to countermand, overcome, and deliver people that are under the influence of so much oppression. And God says, I got you. I got you. The Holy Spirit in you. See, we didn't walk in. The Holy Spirit wasn't here waiting for us this morning. In this empty room. No, God's omnipresent. He's here in the broad sense of his, in the universe, he inhabits every inch of it. But the Holy Spirit lives in you. You brought him to church. You take him home. Where you go, he goes. He can't talk if you don't let him. He can't touch if you don't touch through him. He can't do miracles if you won't step into faith and believe for them. He can't heal the sick if you won't move into healing for them. All those things. Well, Pastor, what if I get it wrong? Then we'll help you get it right. We'll keep working at it. We'll keep practicing. The church is where we learn things. The world's where we do things. The purpose of these gifts is not for us to chronically prophesy to each other. It's for us to learn how to function in these gifts and then be unleashed into Phoenix, Arizona and prophesy in schools and businesses and restaurants and neighborhoods and families. To feel things, to say things, to have words of knowledge. One word of knowledge can deliver. I gave, you know, that person a word of knowledge that's extremely helped a business. He acted on it in a high realm of business and something great happened. It's amazing what can happen when heaven's wisdom comes into our world. 10 times better. 10 times better. When Mary and I were first married, I worked a little church, East Valley Christian Center. And of course, they didn't pay me anything, so I had to get a real job. And I'm working at ITT Courier. And I have a degree in, you know, biblical studies back then, and I'm working in an electronics plant, and all I did in high school was goof off during algebra. So here I am in an algebra factory, and God starts promoting me. Revival broke out. They promote me to upper management, and my job is to write the planning and schedule to like 3,000 people's work time. They put me there, and they had no idea. I did not know one thing I was doing. And every month, the vice president would say, Michael, you got this week's report really, really accurate. I say, oh, great. And then I go back. Holy Ghost. Help. I was so over my head. It was like, oh, man. But I moved into a different world. And so often that's what happens. I don't disqualify opportunities because my human agency isn't up to the task. When God wants to do something, I say, okay, Holy Ghost, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Let's go see some miracles. Let's unleash some wisdom. God will use you to counsel people with 5 degrees. So what? You have access to superior wisdom. God will use you to protect people from wrong decisions, the words of knowledge or discerning the spirits. God will use you to deliver people oppressed. All because of the Holy Spirit. It's time to unleash heaven on earth. It's time to access every spiritual gift God has endowed us with. It's time for us to open the treasure chest of the Holy Spirit's 9 gifts. It's time for us to be bold. It's time for us to be unafraid. It's time for us to walk in love and in power. The union of those two things. It's time for us to see Phoenix delivered. It's time for us to see our family saved. It's time for us to see breakthroughs. Breakthroughs just don't happen because we waited for them. Often they happen because spiritual gifts enabled them to happen. I posted a picture. I gave a pastor from LA a word a year ago that I was up in the Father's house in Vacaville at a pastor's conference. They invite me every year to pray for pastors there. And I pray for this guy named Wes, a great guy. He said, Pastor Wes, stop looking for buildings because buildings are going to start looking for you. God is a miracle building. It's going to come out of nowhere. It's going to be yours. So he told me this week, when I gave him that word, in the last 2 years, he had looked at 85 buildings in Los Angeles and got 85 no's. So he went home and he started saying, thank you, God, buildings are looking for me. He gets a phone call. Here's what happened. A phone call from a beautiful established church. And they said, we'd like to partner with you and have you come be our new pastor. He went to that church and opened the baptismal record and found out in 1965, his father was saved, born again, and baptized in that church as a Jewish believer. And God did a massive, powerful miracle in that man's life by one word of knowledge. God's got a building for you. He claimed it, though. He fought for it, believed it, prayed it, stood it, confessed it. One word can change everything. One heavenly word can change everything in your world. Thank you for listening to me today. Would you stand to your feet, please? I pray if you get time, if you're able to spend time with us now and fellowship with food, even while you're talking today, maybe the Holy Spirit will use you in a special way. He might interrupt your conversation with some cool stuff. Prayer team, if you please join me down front. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. You're so good. You're so good to us, God. Here, as we close today's service, we want to invite anyone that needs prayer to receive prayer. We are a house of miracles. We sang about it. We 1,000% believe it. We really believe that God does miracles. And we would be honored to pray for you if you want prayer, if you need prayer. Spirit, soul, body. If you have never received Christ Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know what it means to be saved or forgiven, if you don't know if you're saved, we would be so honored to pray for you today. Today's your day. Today's your birthday. If you've been away from God, today's your homecoming Sunday. Maybe we've talked about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've not yet received the gift of speaking in tongues. We'd be honored. That's for everybody too. Listen, speaking in tongues doesn't make people weird. You with me? I was weird before I spoke in tongues. Don't blame it on the tongues. Okay? You guys are weird. No, that was just me. It's not the tongue. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's just me. If you need prayer for any of those reasons, maybe you're just going through the hardest week, hardest season. I'm proud of you for making the church. Let us pray for you. Church, just for the 90 seconds more, let's worship the Lord while folks come forward for prayer.
Sing, Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. And Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all. You're all.
Tuesday and Thursday here on campus in the warehouse room, we have a staff-led prayer meeting from 11 to 12. You're all invited. Also, Saturdays at 9 a.m. I'm calling it The Crush. I'll be here this Tuesday praying in the prayer meeting. It's going to be awesome. Mary and I love you. You're in a wonderful church. Have a wonderful afternoon. If you can join us in the courtyard, come. Tell someone around you Jesus loves you like crazy. Stay here as long as you'd like. God bless you.
Come down, Spirit.